Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We all know that Srila Prabhupada emphasized these, the importance of establishing these farm communities. That was especially after ISKCON got established. First of all, he had to make a movement and have devotees and spread it all over the world. So Prabhupada emphasized that. The farm communities, after some time, after many devotees had joined the movement. But in the statement of purposes of ISKCON, he also spoke about that. And here's a quote from a talk of Srila Prabhupada in 1968. Simple life, eat simple things, grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and save your time for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada always had this idea. Don't be implicated in the Ugra karma. Modern civilization is implicated in Ugra karma. Vast machinery, everything complicated. The government complicated, the society complicated, economics rule complicated, foreign exchange complicated. Everything has become complicated. So Narottam Das Thakur has sung a very nice song. Shatchanga chari koino ashate bilash te karne lagilo mor karmabandha fash. Because we have given up Krishna consciousness, therefore we have been entangled in the different varieties of material activities. Now we have to simplify it. The Krishna consciousness movement is to simplify, to save the valuable life, to save the time of valuable life. This human form of life is very valuable. Bahunam janmanam ante. After many, many births, we have got this important life. So we have to save our time to utilize it for Krishna consciousness. So far we have got this material body, we want to maintain it. The body and souls live together, that is all right, for that Krishna has given every chance. Anywhere you sit down, you've got land and cow. You produce something and cow's milk. That is sufficient for maintenance. So let us try to make an attempt to organize a new Vrindavan scheme, and I shall request all my students to develop this idea and show a good example to this western part of the world where people are always engaged in Ugra karma, Asuric karma. The history of New Vrindavan is, it's quite a history. It began with Kirtananda and Hayagriva leaving Prabhupada and his movement and getting some land for some kind of commune, Krishna conscious in their own way in West Virginia. And then they later, after a short time, they came back to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave so many ideas for developing New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with that. He wanted that very much. New Vrindavan's been going on then for more than 40 years. Quite an achievement, although it hasn't really developed as Srila Prabhupada wanted to. Specifically, Srila Prabhupada was cautious when they got the land that it's on an area where there's underground gas. So what's happened? The government has said, okay, we're taking the gas. So the devotees made a contract for the government gas extraction on the land of New Vrindavan, which complete. Otherwise, they would have come from the outside the property and gone underneath. So either way, they took the money from the government, but the whole, I haven't been there, but so I've heard, the whole ambience is changed because of that. That's unfortunate. Really, the whole farm and Varnashram project, major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, hasn't really happened in ISKCON or outside of ISKCON up to the present days. And we're attempting that, and this farm project is part of that attempt. At a meeting that we had some years ago in Puri, We have regularly meetings of the devotees who are engaged in trying to develop these farm projects under my guidance or with my input. In India, we had those meetings regularly. So in Puri, some years ago, I spoke that we're sailing into uncharted waters. We don't really know what we're doing. But now we've got some more experience and some confidence. So when you're starting this project, it's still very much in the beginning stages. There is a model to follow. There's more confidence that you can do it because it's seen that other projects have started and continued and are expanding and flourishing, and it's all Prabhupada's mercy. It may seem surprising that they're going on so nicely. It's all Prabhupada's mercy. I always wanted these farms because Prabhupada wanted these farms, and the satisfaction of the spiritual master is the only aim of the disciple. So I'm trying to be Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and he wanted these farms, so I'm very happy. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very happy. Because what did Srila Prabhupada want? When Thomas Hopkins, the professor, when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he asked Srila Prabhupada so many questions about philosophy and this and that. And then he asked Srila Prabhupada, well, could you summarize what the whole of your mission is? And Prabhupada said, just Prabhupada, that people will be happy. That's all. That's all. That was Prabhupada's. Everything he did was to make people happy. But he knew that people can't be happy without Krishna consciousness. He knew that people can't be happy in this Ugra Karma society. So he gave this alternative, living like this. By living like this, especially those who have come from city life, which means, who do we have? We have three Grihastha families here, and you were all in city life previously. One in Bangalore, one in Melbourne, Australia, and Sundagurang, where is he? Is he this? Yeah. He was in Dubai, the big city, and then in Goa, which is, you weren't living in a big city when you were in Goa. I went to your house, how many times? Once. Yeah, once, so it's not in a big city. But what we're doing by coming from these big cities is what we're saying. It's indirectly we're saying we don't want to live with you. We don't want to be like you. We don't want everything that you promise in your city life. We don't want to be part of your society. We reject that. We accept what Krishna wants to give us. And you are feeling the benefits of that. The devotees, when they want to go to the farm, so many will tell them, oh, don't leave the city. How can you do that? You have to stay in the city and preach, although most of them, they can hardly even chant their rounds, let alone preach. That's the excuse. Preaching is the excuse. Preaching is the essence. Preaching is the excuse. But you can experience, even in this very incipient stage, the benefits that you're getting from that. The spiritual benefits, even materially, if we talk about the mind, not under pressure of work. There is a different pressure, but there's so much work to do. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It's a 0-to-24 job. As my mother used to say, a woman's work is never done. There's always something to do. So on the farm, there's always something to do. And you see that also in the villages, not nowadays, because the people still live in villages in India, but the traditional village life is to a large extent gone and finished. But you'll see that, as I've seen in the villages of Bengal in the 1970s and 80s, that there's always something to do. Even in the rainy season, when you it was really heavy rain, you get heavy rain here, you get heavy rain in Bengal. So you can't really do much in the way of farming, but there's always baskets to make, things to repair, the old cloth, which is the old worn out cloth, which is gathered throughout the farmers will, they'll wear the cloth until it's unwearable, and they keep it, and then they can be made into this kanta. That kanta means it's there in Sanskrit, so it's part of the traditional society. It's a quilt made from old cloth. You don't throw it away. Any cloth, you gather it all together and make it into a quilt. Patchwork quilt, it's called in English. So they must have been. Nowadays we have the throwaway society. Anything doesn't, just like anything doesn't work with your computer, and just, I had to, little jack needed changing, but they changed the whole power supply. You could have just changed the jack, but they don't do things like that. It's the throwaway society. The car gets a little dent in it, and or it's 1 year old, time to change it, get a new one. And planned obsolescence also. They make everything in such a way that it will become unusable. Otherwise, you could make a car that would last you. You could buy it when you're a young man and drive it till you're an old man, but they don't want that because then they won't sell automobiles. If you sell one auto, if you have one automobile which will last a whole life, then you don't have a good business, do you? The light bulb, years and years ago, as I heard when I was a kid, there was an everlasting light bulb was invented. Philips bought the patent and it never got onto the market because then their business is finished. So, busy life, no doubt, but that stress and tension, that's not there. So there are many benefits by participating. The main thing is that we're living with devotees. The community living, even among devotees, may not always be easy, because everyone has their ego, everyone has their idea of how things should be done. But it requires cooperation, and it actually requires us to immediately come to a high level of Krishna consciousness. If you're just sitting up, if you're sitting in your home and you go to the temple once a week, then you don't need to cooperate with all the devotees. You can live life on your own terms or on your boss's terms. But you can imagine you're living in life on your own terms. And then you can cooperate for cooking the prasadam for the Sunday program or going out on book distribution once every often. But to live continuously in a community means that we have to learn to live with others. And it's not that you can say, well, I want to do it this way. But you have to see what others have to say others. But it requires cooperation. And that's very good, because if you're living just in a house with your family or an apartment with your own family, then you tend to think only in terms of my own family's benefit. But living in a community, we have to think of everyone's. What we're doing affects everyone in the community. We have to broaden our scope of thinking and think of the benefit, the physical benefit and the Krishna conscious benefit of everyone. We have to think of the good of the whole rather than of oneself or one's own family. And to really make that work, there has to be the intrinsic spirit of giving. Whereas in the materialistic society, it is everyone wants to get as much as they can out of everyone else. And what's called a success in modern life is that you're successful in getting more out of the society than others do. That's called being successful, isn't it? And if you can be a big businessman, that means you're expert at getting, you pay people to work, but you're expert in getting more out of them than you give them, considerably more. And that's called being a success. But in Krishna consciousness, our success is that we're not thinking, I, me, me, mine, aham, mama. But we want to give more to others. We're not thinking what I can get from others. And that faith is there that Krishna will provide if we simply try to serve him. Krishna is pleased when his devotees cooperate together. So our success is that we stop thinking about I, me, and mine. Of course, that's always there in a family, but it's thinking of the group, the big family. We're all in Krishna's family. Krishna Shangshara Kara Charyanacha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us that we can live in Krishna's family and give up all wrong ideas and wrong activities. So this attitude will make the whole community like one family. Otherwise, in materialistic life, and if we're not having a strong spirit of Krishna consciousness, then among neophyte devotees also, there's selfishness, and then there's finding faults and backbiting, egoism, distrust, consciousness of friends and enemies, whereas in Krishna consciousness we should be friends and friends, not friends and enemies. Vasundhaiva kutumbakam, everyone's our friend. So we have to be very careful that this egoism can spoil, so many things can spoil the communities. That's why we're really praying to Krishna for his mercy. Otherwise, the egoism of one person can just spoil everything. Illicit sex will spoil everything. It's in any other way, breaking the principles, or the desire for commercial success, that can also, we're trying to have simple living, high thinking, and then all of a sudden we want to let's grow this crop and that crop and make lots of money. So many things can spoil everything in so many ways. So it's not going to be easy. Krishna consciousness, the basic practice, is easy, but it's a bit of a trick when we say Krishna consciousness is easy, because it is easy to open one's mouth and say Hare Krishna, but the difficult part is overcoming all our anarthas, the egoism within our hearts. So this coming to this kind of community, it like I say, it really requires us to come to a high level quickly. Because if we are on a neophyte level, we're not going to be able to stay. We have to come to a level of surrender. So it's a great opportunity. Otherwise, sometimes we see devotees, they take to Krishna consciousness, and then after some time they think, oh, I could have been, I put so much time in this Krishna consciousness, I could have been working hard and making more money. And then they become critical of devotees. You fooled me, you cheated me. I worked so hard. I sent my boy to the Gurukul, and he just kept as a slave doing so much service. I've heard these things. They lose any spiritual direction and just start to think like a gross and even an impious materialist. So Maya will tempt us. Maya is always tempting us. At every moment, Maya is ready to drag us down. Krishna Surya Sama Mayahoy Andaka. Taha Krishna, Taha Nahi Maya Adhika. Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya is just like darkness. So when the sun is there, there's no question of darkness. Therefore, so that Maya doesn't catch us, we have to remain in Krishna consciousness. It means we have to have regular programs, coming together, chanting. Sankirtan. Sankirtan is very important for these communities. The community is based on Sankirtan, coming together and glorifying Krishna. We may perform Sankirtan in our own homes, but the bigger Sankirtan, Bahubya Milidva, Yad Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam, many coming together and glorifying Krishna, that is called Sankirtan. So this is the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish farm communities, Sankirtan communities. Everything Srila Prabhupada established, it's all for Sankirtan, glorifying Krishna. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, so that everyone can come together and glorify Krishna together. So the Sankirtan means that we jointly glorify Krishna. That means we have morning and evening hearing and chanting about Krishna communally. But actually, everything we do should be for the glorification of Krishna. The whole project is for the glorification of Krishna. Taking the cows out to the field is for the glorification of Krishna. Plowing the field it's all for the glorification of Krishna. To show to the world, hey, look, this is Krishna's here. We're depending on Krishna. We're not depending on your factories. We're depending on Krishna. So devotees, that consciousness, that Krishna consciousness is there. That we're doing this for Krishna. We're plowing this field to please Krishna. The person who works in the factory, he works to get some money for his family, but the devotee thinks, Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad zuhoshi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kurushva, madarpanam, krishnate kila cheshta. Devotee thinks everything I'm doing as an offering to Krishna. I'm eating, it's an offering to Krishna. Any difficulties I have to undertake, that's for Krishna. All my activities, all my endeavors, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. And we always have to remind ourselves of that and go forward in Krishna consciousness. So the program is very simple. Simplified. The farm life means, as I just read this quote from Prabhupada, very simplified. Otherwise you can be Krishna conscious in the city, but city life by its nature is very complicated. Whereas this farm life is very simple. So we have to keep it simple by not having intrigues, politics, diplomacy, factions, all this kind of thing. All that has to be kept a long, long way away. So thank you very much for having me here for the last 6 weeks or so. Is that Taruni there? So Rama Pramaya took her out. So she told her mother to tell me that I shouldn't go. So I told her that actually I don't want to go, but what to do? I have to go. I have to go other places also. But I hope to come back and see more development. Development means more devotees coming. There'll be more cottages built, more crops grown, more bliss. Everyone developing in Krishna consciousness. That's the development is buildings and this and that. Not small buildings. We should have small buildings, not big buildings. And everyone's developing more bliss, more happiness in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So that's my departure talk, you could say. Srila Prabhupada, he often, when he arrived in a place, not that often, so he would give an arrival talk, and then, especially if he'd been in a place for some time, he would give a departure talk. So, I'm supposed to leave tomorrow morning. So, this is my message to you, and just expressing my gratitude to all of you for being here and for kindly looking after me for the last few weeks. Hare Krishna. Anyone like to say anything?
Come on in.
Ah. Yeah, when we leave we say I'm coming. Right? In Kannada also must be. In every Indian language. It's like that. Leaving means coming, means should be back. Hare Krishna. Parivadatu jano yatha tatha va nanamokaro navayam vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama dante nithaya trinakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatameta daham bravimi he sadhava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandacharane kuruta nuragam Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna.